1 minute, Bo.
Yes, I'm going to rob a bank.
What should we talk about for 1 minute?
Let's just take a minute of silence.
Oh, I like that.
It's the Brett Davern Show. Brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and recorded at the world-famous Moorpark Music Studios in Studio City, California. On today's podcast, Brett welcomes our friend Bo Effing Murchioff from Born to Race, Fast and the Furious. Is that what it's called?
No.
And Scary Movie 4.
He is in that.
I said Bo Murchioff already, right?
Yep.
All right, my name's Marty Shannon. To the left of me is Big Benjamin Collinsworth.
Hi, Marty!
All right. Now let's get to the guy who's graduated high school 3 times.
That's me.
And we wish more people would have graduated high school 3 times, because then, insert candidate name here, wouldn't be running for president. My best friend. Brett Davern.
Listen up, everybody. This is the show. Thank you for listening and subscribing on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. It's free. This show is always free and will be forever free. All that we ask is that you recommend it to your friends and family and anyone who you think likes comedy. Or lack thereof, sometimes.
Anyone who likes comedy.
But please, just, that's all we ask. Tell a friend, tell your mom, tell your dad, and we'll keep it free for you. Also, if you take a second of your time to rate and review our little show, Ben would really appreciate that. You can just rate it on whatever app you're listening to it on. And then if you go to our website and fill out the free gift section and post a screenshot of your review, we'll send you a free gift in the mail. Marty, do you have a review there from someone to read to people?
Of course not. All right, here
it is. Every time.
This one is by Arabella 487.
Okay.
And the title is awesome.
Great.
It's off to a good start. Great show. Brett and Marty have great chemistry, and the show is so much fun. It's like listening to friends chat. Also love that Brett loves NSYNC. Dude can totally quote any lyric. Marty's a great singer. As an aside, subscribe! That's the end.
Nice. Well, thank you for that.
Arabella.
Arabella.
487.
You know, also, if you go to brettdavernshow.com, you can help out the show by supporting the show and clicking on the iTunes or Amazon banner that are on our website. You do all your shopping as normal on their websites, but it just helps us out a little bit. Bo, you ever buy anything on Amazon?
I do, Brett.
And next time, go to brettdavernshow.com, click on the Amazon banner, then do all your purchasing. Yeah. And guess what? How much do you think it costs you?
It just costs me nothing.
It costs you nothing. That's right.
And it makes me feel good.
Oh, well, we like it when you feel good, Bo.
Thanks, pal.
So thanks for helping us out. So if all you out there could do that, we would really appreciate it. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Usually this show is like we call a listener. We, you know, play our silly games and all this kind of stuff. Mm. But the three of us just got back from the land of the rising sun.
Yes.
And I just think we should talk about that the entire time.
Love it. Because
there was a lot that happened.
There was a lot.
Over there. So for those of you out there listening, this little trio here, myself, Marty, and Bo, we took a dude's trip over to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And
or a drip.
Time traveled also.
We just got back like about a week ago. Had some time to decompress. Marty still isn't on local time yet.
Me neither. No.
Yeah.
I'm staying up till 3:30. Yeah.
Really?
You having trouble?
I slept last night.
Till 11:30 yesterday.
Really?
And you know what? I am embarrassed about it.
No. I support that decision.
That's pretty rare for you. You wake up early.
Yeah, well, now my clock's literally backwards. Uh-huh. So.
It's literally backwards.
Literally.
He wakes up. He's a vampire now.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's just all the clocks in his house are spinning backwards. Yes. And he can't see himself in the mirror. All the crosses are upside down.
Still sleeping like this.
All the crosses are upside down in his house.
Oh, wait. We'll get to all that. Okay. So let's start at the beginning, boys. So how did this trip come about? I don't really remember. Marty, you wanted to take a trip.
I think so. You guys had gone to Amsterdam together.
Yeah, Bo and I, we've kind of started doing. I guess it's like a yearly trip, or well, we went to New Orleans too together.
I like to call it a semi-annual trip.
Yeah, yeah. We've just been doing a lot of traveling together. We went to Amsterdam a year ago.
Yeah,
was that a year ago?
Almost.
Yeah, almost a year ago, and then we went to New Orleans for Jazz Fest, and then now we were going to take another trip. And then you wanted to take a trip, Marty.
Yeah, I had shown interest in maybe tagging along on your dude's trip.
Well, Brett and I conferred. we weighed our options.
We had a couple of other applicants, and we had to check references and things like that. But you made the cut. But, Bo, we had been talking about going to Asia, though.
Yes.
And I had been wanting to go to Japan since I was, like, a wee lad.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so I was going to go regardless.
Yeah.
And it all just fell into place that the three of us decided to go at the same time.
Well, I think the idea in my head was, like, I've seen Leonardo DiCaprio's The Beach one too many times.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like, I want to go get lost in, like, Thailand or, like, Vietnam Cambodia or something like that. But then when you said Japan, I was kind of like, okay, pump the brakes a little. Let's have more of an easy introduction to Asia for the first time. And Japan instead.
And it, I mean, I guess it is technically easy.
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, like, not getting lost.
Oh, sure.
You know.
But nobody speaks
like it's a
English.
Big city.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Technically advanced as well. And
right.
All of that.
Yeah.
So it starts, Marty and I carpooled to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a friend of ours. We get there, get our luggage out. And Marty has a duffel bag with a broken strap.
Yeah.
It didn't. And the strap was not broken until the end of the trip.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, Marty. And so it was awesome because Marty's got his guitar, which thank God he brought it because that was awesome.
Wait, let me back up even further.
Okay.
So we started like a text chain before this trip.
Sure.
And we're going back and forth. Where should we stay? Where should we go? What should we do? Blah, 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 blah. All the things you talk about before a trip. And Marty, let me silence my phone. Marty at one point texted the group chain and said, who's checking luggage? And Bo responded with, no one.
Sure.
Which was his way of telling Marty, you better not check an effing bag.
Right.
And then, so I got to the airport a little before you guys, and I was already through security. I was waiting right on the other side of security, and I see you guys come walking through, and there's Bo with his nice little black, you know, rolling carry-on. I got my little black Samsonite roll-on, and there's Marty lugging what looks like a duffel bag that you'd see in a movie before the guy ships off to war.
Or, right. Like, with body parts in it.
Right. He's got that giant duffel bag, like, over his shoulder.
He looks
like
good, though. He looked good.
It did look
like
good.
Like a Continental Soldier.
Yeah, like I was coming home from war.
Thing was, like, 200 pounds.
It was very heavy, and the strap also is made of just, like, the strap is made of the
it's like
abrasive part of Velcro,
a nylon
feels like.
Gym bag, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the strap's not meant to carry more than 10 pounds, or it severs your fingers.
And now, how many leather jackets were you bringing there, cool guy?
Okay, so I brought one leather jacket, two jean jackets, and a couple of, like, suede jackets.
What a rock star.
No,
I
didn't bring any suede jackets.
Right.
I brought
but
multiple jackets.
You had multiple jackets.
Oh, yes. Yep, for sure.
Well, you needed extra pillows.
And how many,
that's all they acted as.
How many pairs of shoes?
I only brought three pairs of shoes.
Three pairs of
only
shoes.
Only brought three. But we'll get to that part.
Yeah,
too.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. So Marty is struggling with this bag.
Yes.
But it's only LAX. We got a short little walk.
You know what sucks is in my head, I said, all right, the walk from the Uber to checking in to it was, you know, 100 feet.
Sure.
And it was already like, this is not going to be fun. Right. I already regretted every decision I've made up until this point.
I cannot describe how much he was struggling with this bag. And see, the trip, the plan was to go to Tokyo for a few days, then take the bullet train to Osaka, then come from Osaka back to Tokyo to get on the flight to come back to LA. So there's a lot of traveling around. So I'm just already in the trip, like, envisioning him lugging this thing through all these train stations.
Which came to fruition.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
very quickly.
And worse than I had imagined. Because I thought that, too. Because I was I was struggling with the idea of bringing the guitar, but I was really into the idea of, like, I want to play my guitar on a balcony
so
in
then
Japan.
That's another thing. So when I met you guys after security, I said, I think one of the first things I said to you was, where's your guitar? Because you had talked about maybe playing some open mics and,
right,
over there. And so I said, where's your guitar? And you said, oh, I checked it. So you broke rule number one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I don't want to go too far into why, but one time I carry a soft case in my guitar, and I usually put it in the overhead.
Right.
But it's like a dice roll. It's like 60-40, they'll make you check it. So
I get it.
No,
you got
right.
a nice guitar. I'm just saying you checked bags when that was explicitly against Mr. Murchoff's decree.
Well, it wasn't too explicit, you know.
Yeah.
You had to read between
it was a
the
suggestion.
Line, because it was one line.
You know what? You had to read between the letters on that one.
Right.
Okay, so we get on the plane. We're sitting next to each other. It's a row where there's three seats. We're in the middle of the
plane.
Well,
I'm in the middle.
Bo is literally in the middle.
Yeah, tallest guy, thanks for, you know, being a good friend.
Bo had to ask the guy who was actually sitting next to us to move so you could sit.
Right. Well, that's true.
And how did I ask him?
Bo, assuming the man didn't speak any English.
Well, and we're at L.A.
Even we're in America, and Bo goes, you switch seats with man? And the guy's like, yeah, if that's fine.
Oh, God, that's great.
And this is going to be good.
So the guy switched seats with me, so I go back into your row. Now, listen, people, we fly economy, okay?
Uh-huh.
We're not.
Sure, you do.
No, we're not throwing money down for first class flights to Tokyo, which, by the way, we found out was like $10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no way we're doing that. So we're sitting back in coach, and Bo is, like we said, literally in the middle seat. How was that, Bo?
Well, if you see how I'm sitting right now, it's because of what happened to me on that perilous journey. I was next to you, beautiful
right,
man.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it was,
it was a great sandwich to be the meat of.
Well, at one point, Brett got up and was doing push-ups in the aisle.
Yeah, that's true. which didn't we find on, like, passenger shaming that
that's right.
somebody was doing push-ups and somebody decided to take a picture to shame that person?
Well, the irony is Brett got that Instagram account and was showing us, look at these douchebags.
Yeah, yeah.
guy doing push-ups game.
So, okay, guilty. Guilty as charged. Let's see, the flight was, what, 12 hours? Something like
that?
Yeah,
right
even.
Around.
No,
getting
there.
It was,
going there, because you're going against the wind and whatever. And so about a 12-hour flight, I think I watched Captain America: Civil War on the way
three
over.
Times.
it was a movie. So I watched that, and you guys were sleeping. Bo, first of all,
oh my God.
Hold on. So okay,
we need to get
sitting on the flight. The flight starts to taxi. By the way, this might go like 4 hours.
That's
we haven't even took off yet. Anyway, the plane's taxiing, and Bo is an avid reader. I know that. I've known that for years. We all know that. And so I look over.
Should we stay away from what he was reading?
No, I don't think so. I look over, and Bo is he's reading the Holy Bible.
But he's reading, like, the first page. Like,
he's, like,
in the beginning.
In the beginning, the plane was taxiing down the runway.
And then he was asleep.
Yeah. And I just said to him, I'm like, really? You got to read that right before a trans-Pacific flight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have brought Bo as my checked bag.
Now, Bo.
He was just dead asleep. I should have dollied him into the airport.
Now, Bo, Old Testament, New Testament?
Well, King James. It's for class, Brett.
Mm-hmm. You're taking a religious studies class, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, Bo was doing some homework already. Marty was reading something about elves and dwarfs.
Yes.
And something
it was about
else.
Thieves, but yeah, okay, close.
Yeah. And I'm watching Captain America. we're quite the trio.
Throw stones.
So, let's see. So, the plane takes off. Lots of drinks on the plane.
Uh-huh.
We international flights are great because they don't charge you.
Free.
For the booze.
Free drink a lose.
So, that was fun. Yes, I was doing push-ups somewhere over the Pacific. Just keeping the blood flowing, you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I went back in the back. There were lots of people doing, like, yoga, tai chi back there. So, I joined in. You know?
No,
it was fun.
No, this is what... There was one of the stewardess was stretching her arms, and all of a sudden I look back and Brett's like pretending to do tai chi while laughing.
Oh God,
that's what it was.
Yeah, I was I was in rare form.
Yeah, you were.
And then also the plane was, it's one of those where there's like two seats on the right, three seats in the middle, two seats on the left. Yeah. So you can walk down the one aisle, then make a turn through the galley and come back. And so you can kind of do laps. So I did a couple laps.
You have to step over Brett doing push-ups if you want to do that.
I did a couple laps to keep the blood flowing. And when we were kind of towards the back of the plane. And when I walked forward and turned around to come on my lap back, all the lights in the plane were off because it was a night flight. Every light in the plane was off except one light over Bo Murchoff, illuminating him.
It was a halo.
Like the angel from the book that he was reading somewhere over Hawaii. Everyone's trying to sleep on the plane, and there's this guy with the light on.
And by the way, I was reading too, but I was too embarrassed to turn my light on, so I just was using his light.
Well, the Japanese culture hadn't rubbed off on me yet. So.
The politeness?
Yeah.
So, all right. So the plane lands. It lands. What time did we land? Like local time in Tokyo?
10:30 at night. Like
right.
Night.
Yeah. Right. So it was party time.
Did you say noon?
I said evening.
Yeah, evening.
Yeah. So we get off the plane and we're walking up the jetway, and all of a sudden I start sweating.
Oh.
My face off. Because. Mm. Yeah. We didn't realize, we thought it would be, we'd get a break from this hot weather that we have here in LA, but it was 100% humidity there.
Yeah, and you're thinking, island, it's what you're saying, it's north, it's north, it's
north of California. On a map, it seems like it's parallel to like Seattle, so right. I was just thinking like, okay, it's a little further north, 100% humidity, but there's Bo and I with our nice rolling suitcases, mm-hmm. and I think, Marty, you walked about 3 miles to get to baggage claim?
With 3 miles with a duffel bag that weighed way more than it should, mm-hmm. with a handle that was severing my fingers.
And he was wearing two leather jackets.
No, because you
looked hot.
That's true. And what was the theme for the vacation I kept saying?
I don't remember.
Pain is beauty.
Pain is beauty. That's right. Yeah, right. For sure.
Let's not, lest ye forget.
So by the time we got to the cab to go to the Airbnb that we were staying at, Marty was just soaked.
Uh-huh.
He was.
And he was already limping by this point, right?
Yeah. No. Not then. My foot, because we went on the run the first day.
That was what did it?
No. I think it was, that was probably a part of it. Hmm. It was multiple straws that broke the camel's foot.
Well, so we took the cab. We got in the cab. Marty starts speaking some Japanese to the driver pretty well, actually. He said you were doing a good job.
I tried to get in the wrong side of the cab, though. I messed up the culture immediately.
That's right. He went to the American passenger side of the car, but they drive on
the other side. Yeah, and the guy's like, no. Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
They have right-hand drive.
Oh, in America, we drive the cabs.
Marty, what's your Japanese? Give us some Japanese.
Arigato daimasu. Totome yoi. What was the one that
you
I
had
kept
a long
saying?
One that you kept saying.
I know.
Saying.
Oh, watashi wa California shirt karakimashita.
Yeah, that was his big one. Yeah. The guy said you were doing a good job, but he might have just been being nice.
He was being nice.
Yeah.
What was his I'm sorry?
Gomanasai. That was us all over Japan. Gomanasai. So we get to where the Airbnb is. The key is in a lockbox that's behind vending machines down an alley.
In like a ditch.
Mm-hmm. In a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have pictures of me down like a 6-foot ditch.
I have pictures. We're going to put a bunch of pictures up on brettdavernshow.com, by the way, of the entire trip. So check that out. And, well, while you're listening to this, you can follow along with the pictures on the website if you want to get out your laptop. Anyway, so you got the key.
Yeah, the Airbnb people usually aren't, because in Japan, I guess most of them go out of the country, so they just use their houses while they're on vacation.
Yeah.
So they have to find a way to get you the key. Mm-hmm. So they put them in lockboxes in weird, like, secret spots around town.
Yeah.
And you have to find them. And that's the process.
So we get up to the Airbnb. It basically looks like a jail cell.
Yeah.
It was cement walls, three mattresses on the ground,
right.
And a sectional that is like for a hamster.
Right.
It was so small.
It would have been small for one normal Canadian-sized man. And it would, and there was three guys and an above average Canadian-sized
man. Oh, and can
man.
I say, just as a general thing for the entire trip, like, Bo was the largest man in Japan.
There was times where I got lost because of my limp, which we'll get to. And I was just like, all right, just find Bo in the crowd.
Just all you had to do is turn around, and he's just the one towering over everybody.
That or Brett's neon green backpack. Right. It was one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did we do that first night? We went and found some ramen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got in so late, so we couldn't do much. But, mm-hmm. yeah, we found ramen. We messed up. Bo couldn't figure out how to open the door. Everything's automatic. Everything opens up when you get close to it.
Well, they're like sliding doors on the restaurants rather than, you know, a pull handle or a push.
There's nothing more embarrassing than like a giant glass window, a restaurant full of people, and you trying to walk in and everyone's
speaking to the door. Open, please.
he like slammed into the window like a bird after you Windexed the window. He's just like, clunk.
Right. And then he just gave up. He's like, oh, I'm not doing this. And then the door opens.
Well, and then the first thing we had to figure out was how to order the ramen because everything's on like vending machines. Yeah. Right. Style.
Everything's or like
video screen.
Yeah. You order like by pushing like a number on a machine. Mm-hmm. And they print you a ticket. The lady walks over, takes your ticket, and then they give you your food.
Bo, how was the ramen?
Guys, I've still been thinking about
Me
it.
Me too. Uh-huh.
Really good.
So mm-hmm. good.
I've been ordering a lot of ramen it's actually
delicious.
Here.
Yeah, it was no so way. Good.
Yeah.
You got a good ramen spot out here?
There's one on Beverly and like La Brea called
Good. Oh,
ramen.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a good one. Good. Yeah, they're not really too on.
Shout out
names.
To Tema Ramen on Brave.
I'll figure it out a little later. But that first night, that ramen was incredible.
It was delicious.
I almost passed out.
Oh,
do you remember?
Oh,
I was sweating profusely.
That's right.
Both Bo and Marty love spicy stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you guys ramen, like I couldn't even sit next to you. It was like making my eyes water.
So delicious.
Both of you guys.
That's why we didn't want you sitting next to
you. But Bo looked like he was having an allergic reaction.
Yeah, mine may have been.
And he wasn't talking much. He was like,
no. he's reading Revelations, like, eating ramen.
All the Japanese people were slowly scooting away from us.
Speaking in tongues as he's devouring his garlic chili ramen.
So we went back up to the Airbnb after that, and we had to figure out the AC because the inside of the... Because the guy was out of town, so he shut his AC off.
Oh, and it just felt like a swamp in there.
It was probably like 95 degrees in there and 100% humidity inside.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem, is everything is so advanced, technologically speaking. Especially with AC or the toilet, even.
Yeah,
you can't
right.
figure out how to use a toilet.
Right.
It's not in English.
Okay. I did not. This is. I knew that in homes and hotels and stuff, they had the fancy Japanese toilets.
Right.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's like the seat heats for you. It opens and closes upon your arrival in the room.
The lid opens by itself.
It's got like a bidet function. It's got a whole keypad next to it. Yeah. You can.
The heated seat is just...
Yeah. Well, you can even play music. You press a button, it starts to play music to, you know...
Mask.
Drown out the sounds that you could be making in there. But anyway, so these toilets... But I didn't realize... So I knew they'd be in homes and hotels and stuff, but I didn't know that they'd be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Even like 7-Eleven had the fancy toilets.
May I say, comment on 7-Eleven's bathrooms?
Oh, yeah.
You can eat in there.
Yeah.
I did eat there.
The Japan in general was the cleanest place I've ever been.
Absolutely.
It was and the quietest.
Right.
Eerily quiet. That first day walking through
the subway.
It was incredible. I felt like we were way loud. We were the loudest people
in
Japan.
And we were talking like this.
Yeah.
What was the name of the train station by the first Airbnb? Was it
Shibuya Crossing?
Shibuya was the subway stop.
Holla at Shibuya.
We kept doing that.
We did.
We were so the first day you guys like went for a run and all that, and then you came back and I was like, not gonna go for a run. So I like woke up and we went and we found some coffee and stuff, and we left the coffee shop. We're walking down the street and Marty goes, I think that, because we were holding our coffees, and you were like, I think that eating on the street and stuff here is kind of frowned upon.
Because I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did notice that as we were walking down the street, like just eating and drinking and talking loudly, that people were kind of looking at us like.
Well, Bo and I had gotten our food and finished it in the Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
You had a sandwich and a drink as you were just eating it and drinking it.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, I think. I considered it rude, and we looked around.
Yeah, nobody had a coffee cup on the street.
Nobody
also,
had anything.
No.
Another time, occasionally, I like to have a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
So I lit up a cigarette, and Marty's like, "Oh, I don't think you can smoke on the street." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Marty? You can smoke on the streets. What are you talking about?" I'm walking down sure enough, like 100 yards later, there's like designated smoking areas. Yeah. Where I'm just like this obnoxious and it's like American.
It's like a box for people that smoke. It's like a prison for smokers. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Bo is just blowing smoke in everybody's faces.
We saw a guy like down on his hands and knees on the sidewalk with like a putty knife, like scraping off gum.
He had like tweezers on his belt.
Right.
I also don't think Japanese people in general would spit their gum on the street. They wouldn't want to do that to their city.
No, it was the. That's what I mean. Like their sense of pride, their sense of honor, their sense of like taking care of the place that they live was incredible. We walked past a construction site, and they had little. I mean, it was like a huge building being built, big project, and they had like little flower. I'm not describing this very well, but you could see down into it. We were kind of raised above it, and they had like little planter boxes in the construction site. Right. And I think at first I said like, "Oh wow, they've already got the planter boxes in." And then Marty, you were like, "I think actually they just put flowers there to like make it a better work environment for their workers."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those,
which was true.
I mean, those pots definitely aren't going to stay there. Like they weren't even. It was like still wet cement. They're going to have to move all this stuff. It was just like it's like a garden for the workers.
Take care of people. Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. So then, you know, we were figuring out the city. I think the first day we went to that tower. With like a art museum inside.
Oh, that was
it,
so fun!
And great lookout. I mean, it was like going up the Empire State Building or something. You got a whole lay of the land.
You can see those views on Instagram, everybody.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Check everything out on brettdavernshow.com. We'll put everything up there. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
I want
kind of a freaky art museum.
Yeah. Well, I want to quickly address how quiet it was, though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So most of the cars there, like, maybe they're electric or something, or because you couldn't even really hear the street noise that much. Mm-mm. But when we went down into the subway, and this is a busy subway, there's thousands and thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were just be quiet, nobody was talking. Nobody.
Well, and even if they were, because you'd see people walking together and one of, you know, their mouths would be moving. So they were clearly talking to their person they were walking with. Right. But I mean, it was like they were just kind of talking.
You could not,
You couldn't hear them.
And it was just, it was.
We commented. Like, it was kind of eerie.
The subway cars, too, they had signs that in Japanese and in English would say, like, please silence your cell phone. Right. Please don't talk on the phone while on the subway.
Well, even like street noise, you kind of commented on that, but like there's no cars honking. People, hey, what do you do? There's none of that.
Right. Also, the cleanliness of the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Every car was spotless,
a little
sparkling.
Too clean.
the cabs, I mean, no dust, no road dust, no. I mean, and a couple of the mornings when we woke up, it had rained. So, and people park on the street, so their car would have gotten rained on, but there was no sign of that at all.
Yeah, like even the construction vehicles were sparkling. Mm-hmm. Like in America, they would be essentially rust.
Yeah, totally.
And falling apart.
Yeah.
It's just the pride. They have such pride.
So then, let's see, that first night we found some nightlife that night. We went to kind of a locals bar. You remember?
In Tokyo.
Hub that first night, right?
Oh, that's
the
right.
Second night.
Hub.
And we started at Hub and then we went to
it's like an English themed bar, like an English pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, don't judge us too harshly for going to an English-themed pub in Tokyo, but it was recommended by Japanese people.
Yes, it was. Well, we found out that, like, they're very, like, nightclub, nightlife culture in Tokyo especially, and the three of us aren't really club guys.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like the No. We prefer a little, you know, like a bar where you can sit and chat and whatever. And so we kind of found out that you kind of have to go to like the English pubs to get that sort of a feel.
Sure.
So that's why we were there. But there were plenty of locals there. That was fun.
Yeah, really fun.
Good times.
Trying to find that sushi restaurant that we went to.
Oh, yeah.
Where we were
after
walking around.
After
like,
the art museum, remember we walked.
Oh, my gosh.
We walked for. We found
it. Like if that was a movie, it would have been like from like the, you know, the silent films in the 20s, you know, to speed up the frame rate.
Right.
You know, walking around really fast, up and down that square.
Yeah, it was like that Scooby Doo thing where they're like coming in one door and out the other.
It was right around then my foot started to break.
Yeah.
And then from this point forward, Marty had the most pronounced limp the whole rest of the
trip. At one point, we got an umbrella, and Marty was using it like a cane. I think that was in Osaka, but
I needed it in Tokyo.
He was like, I think on like day two, he was like, guys, I think I have like a hairline fracture.
You called it a stress fracture.
It's like a stress fracture, guys. Like I don't know if I could go on without me.
I had the Peyton Manning problem. Right. The plantar fascia.
Night number two in Tokyo, went to a baseball game, boys.
Oh, that was so fun.
Bo, tell us about the baseball game.
Well, first we get there. It's a Tokyo Dome. First, we had to get our tickets from this post office, which was difficult to find in a financial district.
Well, because I ordered the tickets before we left the States. I ordered them in L.A. like a week before the trip.
Right.
And it came with instructions of how to pick them up at a post office. So that was an adventure in itself. Yeah.
So long story short, we get to the Dome, and I think, Marty, the two teams playing are the, help me out here.
Hiroshima Carp
and the Tokyo Giants. And the Carp, that's a funny name. so Marty and Brett liked that. Marty wanted to buy a jersey, and the Carp were the away team. And Brett was adamant that you're not going to find away jerseys.
See, this is the thing. I wanted to root for the Carp just because I thought that was a funny name. So Marty and I, before the trip, we were like, we're going to go to the Tokyo Dome to watch the Tokyo Giants, but be crazy Carp fans in the middle of all these Giants fans. So I thought that'd be funny. But then I had a change of heart when I approached the Tokyo Dome, because I just saw the reverence for their team.
Sure.
And I got overcome by my love of the Giants.
Yeah. Sure.
And so I bought a Giants t-shirt. Bo bought a Giants t-shirt. I bought a hat. I bought baseball cards. I went crazy. Yeah, right. I was a massive Giants fan. And
I just, first, I want to say that, so we were going to go in, and Marty's like, well, I want to find some Carp stuff. And Brett's like, Marty, you're not going to find Carp stuff. We're not going to find, it's an away place. 2 seconds later, there's like a whole stand just full of Carp stuff.
Well, because, okay, if you were going to the Seahawks game, okay?
No, your logic made sense, but we're not in America.
If you're going to the Seahawks game and you're a Niners fan, but you don't have any Niners gear on, you're not going to find a place outside Seahawks Stadium selling Niners
Absolutely.
Gear.
But again, you're also not going to get the S kicked out of you if you're a fan of the other team, like in America.
So anyway,
and we'll prove that point in a moment.
Right. So we get inside the stadium, and it's a big dome called the Tokyo Dome, and we're up. Brett thought we had lower level seats, but we were like,
no, he's like first baseline.
Yeah, first baseline.
We were on the first baseline.
Right, just in the nosebleed
section. 400 yards out.
Yeah, we were just, at the top of the stadium. Yeah.
Right.
My head was touching the dome.
Yeah. and just imagine 55,000 people packed to the rafters.
Sold out.
Half of the stadium was for the Carp, rooting for the Carp. Half of the stadium was rooting for the Giants. And everyone's in their garb. Everyone has... Now, this is what happens. When your team is batting, you want to make noise to the opposing pitcher. So they have these, like, routines and dances and chants.
Incessant.
Incessant.
There was
the
just,
whole
like,
time.
A constant drum. There was a guy with, like, a giant bass drum somewhere in the outfield, and it was just boom, boom,
it's deafening.
Boom. And then it was crazy. It sounded like going to a soccer game, actually.
Louder,
or like when you watch the World Cup, how you just hear singing from the stands the whole time, but you're at a baseball game, so it felt really strange.
To Americans, it felt like, you know, like the student section of a football game. It felt like that, you know, times 10.
Totally. Sure. Yeah.
There was it was not silent for a single moment.
No. They're going crazy out there. And there's Bo and I in our Giants gear, just loving it, high-fiving people around us. I think first inning or second inning, one of the Giants hit a two-run home run. Bo and I stand up. We're like freaking out, high-fiving all the people around us. They don't speak a word of English. But
I high-five, too. Let's get that straight.
And Marty was high-fiving all the Giants fans and everything. And then I think like inning three or four, the Carp all of a sudden like took the lead. It
back
was like
to, back
three
to back
two.
Homers.
Back-to-back
homers.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. They hit back-to-back homers. And Marty stands up.
Take off
now,
my.
Now, he's been high fiving all the Giants fans.
And I don't have my Carp jersey on yet.
No.
I have
and
just
he
a regular
up,
shirt.
Pulls the Carp shirt out of his bag and just proudly puts on the opposing team's colors.
And we're sitting in a Giants section.
Yeah, we're sitting in the Giants section.
And he's been making friends with the Giants fans and applauding the Giants.
Yeah. Right.
It was not since Benedict Arnold. or
Judas
or Judas from Bo's reading material.
Have you guys know about this Judas character? Oh my god.
Let me tell you.
And the Giants fans around us, like the locals, they were just kind of like, they were laughing at
they
you.
They thought it
like,
was funny.
So hard. Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is what we're saying, like if I were in a Seattle San Francisco game,
right,
and I were in the San Francisco part of the stadium and I put on a Seahawks jersey after a touchdown, I'd get my head caved in.
Well, that's the thing. It's because you were cheering for the other team first.
Sure, exactly.
That's why. It's like, I think, because I just went to the Rams-Seahawks game here in LA, and I wore a Seahawks t-shirt, and nobody really said anything the whole time. There was a couple lighthearted, like boo, when I was walking up the things, and I was just like, you know, just smile and wave, like, hold up my t-shirt. To the face. But no, I mean,
he carries his butterfly knife everywhere.
I had been rooting for the Rams and then all of a sudden switched.
Yeah, right. That was the.
I would have gotten stabbed.
I think it was also, Marty, you might have mentioned this. It was, okay, if you were at the San Francisco Giants game or whatever sporting event in the States, and three Japanese guys come who don't speak English or anything, and then one of them throws on the opposing jersey. Totally. You're going to laugh at them because it's funny. They don't know the culture.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, so, we were definitely the American bumpkins up there that kind of took pity on us and stuff. Yeah. But I had a hot dog at the game that was delicious.
So good.
So good. Pork hot dog instead of beef, I noticed. But it was delicious. Right? Delicious.
Also, the people, the beer girls.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Cute girls with kegs of beer on their backs.
Right.
They're as big as them.
Yeah.
The kegs are as big as they
are. Like, instead of selling cans of beer like you would see, or like, a you know, plastic bottles of beer like you'd see in an American game, they actually had, like, taps.
On draft.
Yeah.
And
cups. And they
legs. Yeah. They had really nice legs. Yes.
These girls were, like, maybe 100 pounds, 105, 110 pounds. I mean, they're, you know, they weren't, they were slender, and they're carrying these pony kegs up and down these.
Yeah. Like, they're Sherpas.
Oh, it was crazy.
When they're all very pretty.
Yeah.
And when they look at you and, like, nod at you, like, you want a beer? Yes. Yeah.
Please?
Yeah. You're like, sure. Yeah,
how much money do I give you?
Right.
Give you all of the money. Well,
that's the other thing with the money over there, because it's like a predominantly, they use a lot of cash instead of card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anything under
10
is coins.
Right.
So we were just throwing coins at everybody, just going like, yeah, sure, here you go. Yeah. Like, the money felt not real.
And also, you build it up in your pocket because you don't think it's worth it. You just, it's in your American brain that this is coins.
Yeah.
But you have like $40 in your pocket.
Oh, totally. Like, one of the coins is a 500, which is $5.
Right.
And I mean, a coin that's worth $5, but they'd take it from me and it felt like they were taking a quarter.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
it wasn't a big deal.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we
growing
got
up in
beers.
Canada, guys, I'm used to these worldly things.
Oh, you and your toonies. strip clubs must just be, man, just the girls are
making it rain.
Making it rain. Making it hail.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
I thought they just pour maple syrup on all the strippers.
No, they do. They do.
So let's see. Baseball game. And then I don't really remember. I mean, what else do we do in Tokyo? I don't know.
That night we were really tired, jet lagged.
Yeah. Oh, so that's right. Back. We barely stayed out that night.
Yeah, Tokyo, was us getting accustomed to Japan. Mm-hmm. Osaka was us really living it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the third day in Tokyo, though, we went to the garden.
Oh,
we
yeah.
That was really awesome. Garden, or the Imperial Garden, I think is what it was called.
Again, pictures on Instagram.
Yep, and Bo was meditating.
Sure.
And Marty did his famous kip up.
Yep.
I put that on Snapchat.
That was hot.
Impressive, right?
Yeah, it was super hot.
And that is actually when I started to love carp for the first time.
During the kip up?
No, at that garden.
Oh, in the pond.
All the carp swimming around.
Oh, yeah.
And totally. That one koi.
It was a beautiful garden, though. Really peaceful. And again, like, just so quiet in the middle of the world's largest city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty
loved
incredible.
It.
The subway system was incredible.
Yeah.
Efficient. Mm-hmm. Ran on time. Pretty amazing.
Every time. Clean.
Basically, our trip in Japan also, just as a general statement, was us running from air conditioning to air conditioning.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, and every time you felt a breeze of AC, we just all stopped in front of it for a moment. It's like us sweaty Americans just... And everyone kind of... I was the amount of sweat I was sweating was humorous to most of the Japanese
people. You were wet the entire time.
Yeah. They were like it was comical how much I was sweating. I looked like an old 1960s like comedian who starts sweating from a wire in his hair. And like my head's under a faucet. I don't know. Are we
bullet
skipping
train?
To Tokyo with a bullet train?
Bullet train.
Well, hold on. Before we get on the bullet train, the last thing we got to cover in Tokyo is kimonos.
Oh, yes.
Because Bo announced, I think when the flight left LA, he shut his Bible and he announced that in Tokyo, I'm going to buy a kimono.
Yeah.
And so we were one of the last things. Well, you were trying to find some comfortable shoes, Marty, because you had your stress fracture.
Yeah.
So we went to like what is like a mall. And we were looking at some shoes. What's the brand of shoes you like?
Tiger Onitsukas. Yes. What
and you lied to the woman when you left. You're like, I'm going to come back. I'm
yeah. Oh, yeah. You had them put some shoes on hold. They're probably still on hold for you.
They're
you
probably politely waiting for me still. Yes. Go back
and we were about to leave the mall. And over Bo's shoulder, I saw a sign. And I saw hanging in a store kimonos. And I was like, Bo, we got to go. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
So I want to say walk, but I feel like I was gliding over to the kimono store. We all tried on different kimonos.
Yeah.
They were lovely. They spoke to me, guys.
They were
felt
incredible.
In my element.
Yeah.
So I had to pull the trigger and purchase.
Plus the two people that worked there were incredibly charming and
they were.
Nice. They
you
were
sold
super
me.
Fun.
Yeah. And I probably spent a little bit too much money on a kimono.
Do you want to say how much you spent?
Oh, you know, around...
Well, here's the thing. The kimonos... I think we were definitely not at, like, a tourist place.
No.
We were
no.
at, like, a custom, handmade... Mm-hmm. They were, like, going to tailor it perfectly, measure you, all these things. And I think if you would have bought yours... and they would have measured you and built it. First of all, they said it would take 2 weeks or two or 3 weeks to ship to your house. It was going to be like $3,200 or something. It was like really expensive.
Right.
But you bought one off the rack.
Yeah, off the rack. But I mean, it looks good, you guys. It looks good. The thing, look.
I'm going to bust you. They saw you coming, man. Bo was like, I'll take it. And the guy was like, all right, let's... $500 for the kimono,
and then the belt,
Was like another $300.
That's
and
what
then
I feel
the belt that goes the belt that goes under the belt.
Yeah, the double
was
belt
was another $100.
I mean,
he tried to sell you sandals.
Yeah, he did. Sandals. The shirt. I actually kind of want the shirt that goes under the kimono because it's a little abrasive.
Oh, is it?
A little abrasive.
See, now
it's really nice.
I assumed you were just gonna wear this. I don't know why you bought a belt at all, because I assumed you were just only gonna wear it naked and flapping in the breeze.
Well,
but the belt really
on
tied the whole kimono together.
I mean, hey, good. Hey.
Anyway, gross. So but I have been wearing. I'm getting a lot of use out of it.
Well, and then the one that you were trying on that you ended up not buying, the white one.
Right.
I was like, I'll buy that one.
Yeah.
Right.
So we both got, we're the kimono dragons.
That's right.
Again, Instagram, you could find those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Check those out. So we spent way too much money on some kimonos. And then
I bought a hat.
You bought a hat. You, uh-huh. Yes.
Which comes into play later in the show.
It sure does. And then we went towards the bullet train.
Yeah. That was a big old Klusterfuken, as the Germans would say.
Well, this is the thing. So we don't have reserved seats on the bullet train, so we have to go to cars 1, 2, or 3, and there's like a total of probably 12 cars or something like that. So we get in on the train around car number 12, and we have to walk all the way down to car number 3.
Remember, broken foot.
Yeah.
Now remember this. Picture
and
this.
We just ran all the way to get this
picture,
train as
picture
well.
Brett and Bo. Each one of us has a backpack on. Uh-huh. And each one of us has a nice, light, rolling suitcase.
Correct. And just comfortable shoes.
Nice. Comfortable shoes. I'm wearing, like, Nike Airs. Sure. Bo's got some comfortable shoes. Yep. And, we're fine. Just
briskly walking.
Briskly just strolling down through any train station. We come to some stairs. Just, you know, you put that handle down on the Samsonite. Clickety, click, click, click. Yeah. And you walk up the stairs. You clickety, click, click, click. And off you go.
Those.
And then picture 100 yards behind us. Marty, wearing 4 suede jackets.
I didn't have a jacket on.
Carrying a 300-pound duffel bag.
And a guitar.
And a guitar case. Mm-hmm.
Those fuck stairs. All right? I've never been more... There was a moment, and later on, but there was multiple moments where I was like, this is when I die. I'm going to die in Japan in the train station.
Well, so when we got onto the train, go ahead, Bo, we had to...
Right, so, well, we, you know, briskly and blissfully walked down to car number 3, and we look, and Marty's nowhere to be seen.
Sure.
So we sit down, we order a martini, we're hanging out, we're talking.
Yep.
And about, 35 minutes later, comes Marty.
It's probably about that.
Just drenched.
Sweating.
I can smell him before I even see
God,
him.
God, it was bad.
And he puts his stuff up in the where you put your luggage.
Like the overhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, there was no 3 seats together. There were no 2 seats together at this point. So I sat in an aisle, Brett sat somewhere, and Marty sits in the middle seat next to this kid and a teacher.
Yeah, but I'll get to that.
And anyway, I just started laughing because Marty's just drenched.
Yeah.
and he's wearing four-suede jackets.
No.
And he sits between.
Just sweating all over.
And he's like,
two girls. Two girls.
Arigato.
It wasn't a kid. It was two attractive 20-year-old plus women. Oh.
Yeah. And he sits in the middle of them and he's just dripping on them.
Well, hold on. You don't know my ordeal getting to that seat. You guys had sat down and I have a broken foot. I'm sweating like I just got out of a waterfall. And I have this giant oversized bag and a guitar.
Yeah.
And the rows to walk through the train are tight. So I'm walking, limping. I'm bumping everybody with my bag. Gomenasai. I'm hitting all of them. I'm sweating. I'm literally dripping sweat on people as I'm walking past them. Mm-hmm. And I'm stopping at every bathroom galley just to take a second. Put my bag down. I'm getting terrible hand burns from my bag. Finally, I get there, and of course, the only seat available is between these two pretty young Japanese ladies. So I put the thing over there. I sit down. Must not have smelled that bad, Bo. I was chatting this girl up to my right for the whole train ride.
Mm-hmm.
She was real super nice.
She turned out to be the number one
Kempo
stick instructor in Japan.
Yeah. Her team is number one in Japan.
She was on the train with her students.
Yeah, right. She was 25, and her students kept looking back at us she's talking to this American man.
She's talking to this guy who just got out of the shower, apparently, because he's that wet.
The rumors are true. Americans do sweat like that.
But I got to say, the bullet train, incredible, incredibly smooth.
Yep.
Never been on a train that wasn't going, the standard clickety-clack, just gliding on air, literally, and felt like that as well. And, it would come to these turns and it was banking and you're just, what, 200 some miles an hour, probably, something like that?
I don't know. I was sleeping the whole time.
Yeah, you were sleeping the whole time.
We whisked off to Osaka and didn't see Mount Fuji, but that's okay. We've been talking for 50 minutes already and we haven't even gotten to the, Osaka, which we spent more time in Osaka than Tokyo. So here's the thing. I don't think this is all going to fit on one episode, right?
Agreed.
Bo?
Unless you want to have a four-hour episode.
Are you good to hang out for another hour? We'll just make it a part two.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So if you're listening out there, thanks for listening to the show. That was the Tokyo portion of the trip. We're going to make Osaka part two. That'll be up soon or whatever. This is real.
Marty's bag break? Will his foot break also?
Will it fall off, literally?
Will Marty have an amputation somewhere in the land of the rising sun? Find out next time.
Who wants to take bets on if it's my fingers or my foot first? Or if I just melt into this subway system.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Osaka got even crazier than Tokyo, so be sure to tune in for that. But for right now, that's a wrap, everybody. Thank you for listening and for subscribing on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Don't forget to rate and review our show. We also have a website where each episode is archived. There are tons of behind-the-scenes photos. Please go to that website, if you want to, because there's tons of photos of this Japan trip. So you can follow along when you listen to both episodes and see visual confirmation of the very things that we're talking about. Also, please go to Amazon through our website, through the Amazon banner on our website before you do any of your downloading. It doesn't cost you a darn thing, but it does help us out, and we really would appreciate you helping us out. Once again, it's brettdavernshow.com. Bo Murchoff can be found on Twitter at Bo
_Murchoff.
So check him out on there and come on back for part two of this Japan episode. The Brett Davern Show is also on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat at Brett Davern Show. Anything else we missed? Yes. The entire Osaka part.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, we purposefully.
Yeah, purposefully missed. So tune back in for that. Say goodbye, Producer Ben.
Goodbye, Producer Ben.
Ben is on Twitter at TheBigBen76. My pal Marty Shannon's latest album, 2600, is out now. Go to our website to download it. It's also streaming on Spotify. And also, Marty has this for all of us.
Alice asked, "How long is forever?" The white rabbit responded, "Sometimes, just 1 second." Alice in Wonderland.
You can follow Marty on Twitter at Marty_Shannon. As for me, I'm Brett on Twitter at BDAV, BDAVV. That was our show. Good night, Kempo Stick Teacher.